الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين، وعلى من استنى بسنته واهتدى بهديه وسار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين. اللهم لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا، وانفعنا بما علمتنا، وزدنا علما وعملا وإخلاصا وحبا لك يا كريم. Alhamdulillah, over the last few weeks, we have been going through a journey understanding and discovering who is our Creator. We started with the name Allah, which means the one who is most intensely loved, the one who we resort to in times of difficulty, in times of tragic need. We then moved to Ar-Rabb, the most personal name of Allah, the name which we call out in times of distress. Ar-Rabb, the one who nourishes and nurtures from zero, from nothing, all the way to completion. The one who looks after all of our affairs. We then went to Al-Hayy and Al-Qayyum, the ever-living, the one who's never offline, the one who's never absent. And Al-Qayyum, the one who makes everything in this earth stand, move, evolve, revolve, breathe. Al-Qayyum. And today, we are coming to the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is perhaps many of you have been waiting for. We are coming to Allah's name, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim. The word Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, this name or this pair of names come from the root Arabic letters, Rahima. And Ar-Rahim in the Arabic language refers to the womb of a mother. What does the womb of a mother have to do with Rahmah? Yes. Okay. Beautiful. What's your name? Ahmed. The womb of a mother is a place where a child lives for 9 months. From when it's nothing to when it reaches full health and it's ready to come out into the real world. And while it's there in the womb, it's got VIP service. The child doesn't have to chew to eat, doesn't have to drink, doesn't have to go outside to look for halal meat. Everything comes to the child. It doesn't even have to move. It just swims, right? In the amniotic fluid. This is Ar-Rahim. Ar-Rahim, the womb of a mother, what is the relationship with the name of Allah Ar-Rahim, or the concept of Rahmah? This is where everything begins. Ar-Rahim, the womb, is a place where this child, this fetus, is surrounded by attention, care, love, mercy. It's fully, all of its needs are fully taken care of. That's one. Number two, what this fetus receives is selfless. The mother gets nothing in return. Instead, she actually gets tired, she gets hungry, she's vomiting, she's exhausted, she might get pain, she might get disturbance, she's carrying this very heavy sack around all the time. So what the child is getting, it's not giving anything back. It's a selfless love. And it's everything provided for. This is the original meaning of Ar-Rahim, the womb. It's that safe space where you feel you are not in need of anything. You don't have to ask for anything. Before you ask, your needs are provided for. And all of this is done in a seamless manner. And then when you're ready, you're brought out into the harsh, cruel world where you have to go and get things, where you have to go and you have to now go and fight, you have to go and get into conflict, you have to go and try, exhaust yourself. But inside the womb, it is the safest place. And this is why human beings, according to some biologists, human beings, why, when they want to feel comfortable, why do they curl up? Because the human body naturally feels safe in the position that it was in the womb of the mother. You're never going to find in your life a similar safe, soft, enjoyable place to live than the womb of the mother. That safe space. And therefore, Ar-Rahmah. Ar-Rahmah is a kind of love, a kind of compassion where you expect nothing in return. It's selfless by definition. Rahmah creates an environment where everything is provided for. Ultimate Rahmah is an environment where everything is provided for and nothing is returned to the one giving. You're pouring, but you're not receiving. This is ultimately what Rahmah means. It is a selfless, love, an ultimate. It is a compassion. It is a caring that is received. There's a receiver and there's someone giving. And the giver expects nothing in return. This is the meaning, the initial meaning of the word rahmah. Now, we take this root word of rahmah. And I told you in the Arabic language, imagine the Arabic language like dough, right? I know South Asians, we eat roti, we eat naan, we eat paratha. I went one of the nearby stores, you have anjera bread and you have other types of bread. Now, all of it comes from the same dough, right? From the same dough, you can make roti, you can make naan, you can make different types and shapes and forms of it, but they all taste different. Similarly, in Arabic, you have a root word. You can put it in different forms. Each form has a slightly different meaning. So from rahmah comes rahman, from rahmah comes rahim. What's the difference? Let's start with rahman. Rahman fits a template in Arabic called fa'lan. You give a word the template of fa'lan when it's extreme. Who can give me an example? Ghadban. Who does Allah say the word ghadban for in the Quran? Okay, when Musa alayhi salam returns to his people, ghadban. Ghadban means extreme anger, rage. Why does he get angry? Obviously, he left them worshipping Allah. He came back and they were worshipping the golden calf. So obviously, he gets angry. But he doesn't just get angry. Angry is ghadib. I'm an angry person. Ghadban, rageful, intense anger. قَالَ بِئْسَ مَا خَلَفْتُمُونِي مِن بَعْدِي. What did you do after I left? That's what he was saying. He is enraged by this. Not just anger, he's enraged. Ghadban. Now, interesting thing about ghadban, about this template, fa'lan. Ghadban, na'san, jaw'an, atshan, rahman. Any word you put in this form, it means it's an extreme version, intense, but also that it's temporary. It suddenly came. Because a few verses later, وَلَمَّا سَكَتَ عَمْ مُوسَ الْغَضَبِ. His anger, it evaporates, it goes away. So غَضْبَان means he's enraged now, but 10 minutes later he could calm down. So غَضْبَان doesn't mean it's a permanent trait, it's a permanent quality. No, even if it came for 20 minutes, but it is an intense version. So when I say, أَنَا جَوْعَان, I'm extremely hungry, I need to eat right now. But once I eat, my hunger is gone, right? So it's intense, but it's temporary. This is fa'lan, rahman. Rahman, therefore, is the mercy, the selfless compassion and mercy that is so intense, it is so extreme, it is unlimited. Every human being, animal, plant, bee, bacteria, microscopic being, everything on this earth, from the wall to the trees, receives the rahmah of Allah. This is Allah's being rahman. And not just any rahmah, they receive it in an intense manner. There are so many things that Allah gives them that shows His mercy to them. Then you have the second word, ar-rahim. This word, this frame, this template in Arabic, fa'il. Who can give me a word that fits this template? Alim. Can a human being be alim? No? Is there an ayah in the Quran where a human being said that he is alim? Who said Yusuf? Who said Hafidhun Alim? Yes, Sheikh. Sheikh, we miss you. Come closer, please. I need the Huffaz to be close so I can get the input. Yusuf alayhi salam, when he goes to the king to offer his services, he says, Inni Hafidhun Alim. Hire me, I am Hafidh. I'm always trustworthy and Alim, I'm always knowledgeable. This is basically his CV. When you apply for a job, you have to tell them what you're good at, right? You go, no, brother, no, I'm not. No, subhanAllah, I'm good at nothing. I'm a humble brother. Okay, go, we'll hire someone else who's good at it then. No, you have to put yourself, you have to say, I'm good at these things. Yusuf alayhi salam said, Inni Hafidhun Alim. Now, Hafidh, from the word hifz, to protect, to maintain, to look after. Hafidh is someone who's always, you can trust him to look after your things, always. Very rarely they'll make a mistake. You call them hafidh. Another word in Arabic, another good example is faqih. from the word fiqh. Now we know fiqh is deep knowledge. Now, if I have deep knowledge about wudu, but when you ask me about inheritance, I say, look man, I have no idea about inheritance. Would you call me a faqih? No, you wouldn't. A faqih is somebody who is consistently knowledgeable all the time of most things. They have a sense, a level of mastery. They have mastered the subject. You call them faqih. So the difference between Rahman and Rahim is that Rahim is a trait that is consistent all the time. And Rahman is intense, but it could be for a moment. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He says Ar-Rahman, He shows you how extreme and how unlimited His mercy can be. That even the person who disbelieves in Him and curses Him and burns the Quran and insults His Prophet, Allah gives him oxygen and food and clothing and accommodation. He gives him everything while he is abusing Allah. وَهُمْ يَكْفُرُونَ بِالرَّحْمَانِ. Allah provides for them everything while they disbelieve in Ar-Rahman. He uses His word, His name Ar-Rahman. You may reject, kufr is to hide and to reject something. They may reject and bury Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but He still is Rahman for them too. That's Ar-Rahman. Allah's extreme mercy. The animals experience it. The birds experience it. The bacteria in your stomach experience it. They all receive the mercy of Allah. Then you have Ar-Rahim. Because someone, if you say Rahman, if I say Ghadban, you might think he was angry for 5 minutes. He was in rage 5 minutes. But if I say Hafiz, you know he's always trustworthy. So when you say Rahim, you know Allah is always merciful. There's one difference. Intense, but sudden. Consistent, but firm. Rahim is Allah's mercy that is always consistently there. Rahman is Allah's mercy that is extreme. It's sudden. It is unlimited. You cannot even compute. Your mind cannot even realize how much of Allah's mercy you receive. That's one difference. The second difference about Rahman and Rahim is some scholars mentioned that Rahman is Allah's general mercy which every being experiences. Human, like I said, bird, bacteria, car, vehicle, moving, unmoving. Everybody experiences the mercy of Allah. But Rahim is a special mercy only for the believers. And we're going to talk and ask that question. What is that mercy that Allah has saved just for those who believe? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says elsewhere in the Quran, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. This is, uncle has come to a similar ayah, وَبِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَؤُوفُ الرَّحِيمِ. وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا. Allah says, especially with the believers, He is Rahim. He is consistently and especially merciful. So you can say, Ar-Rahman, extremely merciful, Ar-Rahim, especially merciful. You can say, Ar-Rahman, unlimited mercy, and Ar-Rahim, consistent mercy. This is the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to introduce us, Himself in the Quran. Why is the name Rahman so important? I want to focus on the name Ar-Rahman. Who can tell me what makes the name Ar-Rahman so important? How do we know it's a very special name? It deserves more attention. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-arsh istawa. And? So it was mentioned in this verse? Okay. Okay. It's the name Allah uses when He describes that He ascended above His throne in a way that befits Him. Okay. Anything else that makes you think this name is important? There's a whole surah. Is there a suratul Malik? Is there a suratul Rahim? Is there a suratul Jabbar in the Quran? No, but there's a surah. Ar-Rahman. A whole surah dedicated to this name. Now, go on. What else? Bismillah, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. You repeat it in every salah. Who can tell me what else? Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Which means? Okay. Ar-Rahman, fas'al bihi khabira. You should ask Allah because He's Ar-Rahman. Now, yes. MashaAllah, very good. This is not a point I thought of. What's your name, Akhi? Sorry? Rufa'i. One of the most beloved names to Allah in children is Abdul Rahman. And that shows the name Ar-Rahman is beloved to Allah. Now, interestingly, the scholars of tafsir, they differed. is this name an Arabic name or is it a Hebrew name? Because actually, there is the same name in Hebrew, Rahim and Rahman, with a kha instead of a ha. So they said, was this name taken from Hebrew and inserted into Arabic? Was it borrowed? Or is it an originally Arabic word? That being aside, whether it's Hebrew, whether it's Arabic, it is the name of Allah. But interesting point, the Arabs that the Prophet ﷺ was sent to, they did not know this name Rahman. It was unfamiliar to them. How do we know that? وَإِذَا قِيلَ لَهُمُ اسْجُدُوا لِلرَّحْمَنِ قَالُوا وَمَا الرَّحْمَنِ. When they are informed, they are commanded, prostrate to Ar-Rahman, they say, who's Rahman? There's another thing that happened. In the sulh, in the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, when the Prophet ﷺ makes an agreement with the disbelievers in Mecca, and Ali ibn Abi Talib begins to write, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. What did the Meccans say? We don't know what Ar-Rahman, we don't know who Ar-Rahman is. This is a name we don't know. Write, Bismika Allahumma. So it was a name that was strange to them. Now what effect did this have? We know that the Quran was revealed over 23 years, right? Bits of it in Mecca, in the Meccan period, before Hijrah, before migration, and bits of it in Medina. In the Meccan period, Allah emphasizes this name Ar-Rahman so much. I'll give you one very surprising example. There's a verse, it was revealed in Mecca, and a verse, very similar wording in Medina, but Allah swaps the name. Who can recite for me the verse from Surah Mulk? Why do they not look at the birds in the sky? Okay. أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ فَوْقَهُمْ صَافَّاتٍ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا الرَّحْمَنِ. Carefully listen to this. Why do they not look at the birds above them? Nothing holds them up in the air except Ar-Rahman. Now there's another verse in the Quran about the same thing. Surah An-Naml. أَلَمْ يَرَوْا إِلَى الطَّيْرِ مُسَخَّرَاتٍ فِي جَوِّ السَّمَاءِ مَا يُمْسِكُهُنَّ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Why do they not look, Allah says, at the sky, the birds in the sky above them? Nothing holds them up except Allah. In this ayah, same ayah, he says Ar-Rahman. In that ayah, same ayah, he says Allah. What's the difference? This ayah was revealed in Mecca, Surah Al-Mulk. The other ayah was revealed in Medina. The surahs that were revealed in Mecca, Allah constantly mentions Ar-Rahman, 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 Ar-Rahman. For example, the surah in the Quran with the most mention of Ar-Rahman is, who knows? Maryam. Ahsant. Excellent, mashallah. I wish I had some Snickers to give our dear brother here, some chocolates. Surah Maryam begins with Allah's rahmah. ذِكْرُ رَحْمَةِ رَبِّكَ عَبْدَهُ زَكَرِيَّا. And it ends with Allah's rahmah. إِن كُلُّ مَن فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ إِلَّا آتِ الرَّحْمَنِ عَبَدًا. Maryam alayhi salam, she mentions Allah is Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahman. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when he's debating with his dad, يَا أَبَتِ إِنِّي أَخَافُ أَن يَمَسَّكَ عَذَابٌ مِّنَ الرَّحْمَنِ فَتَكُونَ لِلشَّيْطَانِ وَلِيَّا. Surah Maryam was revealed where? In Mecca. And Allah's name Ar-Rahman is mentioned in the surah between over 11 times. So many times. Why? Because the Arabs did not know this name. So Allah keeps mentioning this name again and again and again until they get it. Allah is Ar-Rahman. Allah's mercy is unlimited. It's unimaginable. And so this name is constantly repeated in Surah Maryam. And this is an observation not from me, but from Al-Imam Al-Tahir ibn Ashur, rahimahullah, the Tunisian scholar of tafsir. And so the believers in Mecca, they didn't have to pray salah, they didn't have to fast Ramadan, they didn't have to give zakah, no hajj, no obligations, right? Or very few laws. The focus in Mecca was them learning about who is Allah. And the focus in who is Allah was on this name Ar-Rahman. Why? If you understood Allah is Ar-Rahman, that will change how you treat other people. that will change how you see Allah. And we're going to see that now shortly. What effect does this name have in our daily lives? There's a tradition. A tradition which has been going on for 14 centuries. Which is that whenever a student comes to learn hadith, the statements of the Prophet ﷺ, the shaykh is supposed to teach his student the very first hadith that you hear from the shaykh, it has to be one particular hadith. It's a tradition. From the time of the tabi'in till today. Who knows what is this hadith? Not innamal a'malu bin niyat. Innamal a'malu bin niyat, actions are by their intentions. In the books of hadith, tends to be the first. But when you come to learn from a shaykh, from your teacher, and you ask him, teach me, what did the Prophet ﷺ say? He will teach you the first hadith he heard from his teacher. And the first hadith he heard from his teacher. And the first hadith until Sufyan al-Thawri, rahimahullah, who started this tradition. And that is? Sorry? You got your close. You're close. Allah, Ar-Rahimuna, Yarhamukum Ar-Rahmanu Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Those who are merciful to others will receive mercy from the most merciful. If you are merciful to others, Allah will be merciful to you. Irhamu man fil ard, be merciful to those on the earth. Yarhamukum aw yarhamukum man fis sama, the one in the heavens will have mercy on you. Why is this the first hadith we should know? Because sometimes people learn Islamic knowledge and it makes them angry, it makes them divisive, it makes them attack others. Mubtada, fasiq, dal, kafir, jahannam. But if this is the first hadith you learned in your whole life, the first thing you heard your teacher say, Ar-Rahimuna yarhamuhumur Rahman, people who are merciful to others, Allah will have mercy on them. The way you take knowledge and the way you express your knowledge and the way you act on your knowledge will be completely different. You'll be focused, how can I make this mercy of Allah fill this earth? Until it reaches the fish in the sea. And that is why in the hadith about seeking knowledge, the Prophet says, حَتَّى الْحِيْتَانُ فِي الْبَحْرِ لَتَسْتَغْفِرُ لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ. Even the fish in the sea make dua for forgiveness of the seeker of knowledge. Because your mercy reaches the fish in the sea. Even the environment, you look after the environment. You don't throw trash on the road because you know this plastic is going to reach the sea. And because of that, the fish make dua for you. Knowledge is supposed to fill you with rahmah for other people. If it fills you with hatred and division and bigotry and attacking, you didn't take knowledge. You took shahawat, you took desires. You took something which filled you with worse. If the knowledge is not filling you with mercy, this is not the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is some other knowledge. You have to go and find the right knowledge. هَذَا عِلْمٌ لَا يَنْفَعَ. This is knowledge that doesn't benefit you. And so, going back to the main point, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He calls Himself Ar-Rahman, the one of unlimited mercy. And this is where a question may arise. Does Allah, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most merciful, what about all the pain that I have in my life? What about all the difficulty that I have in my life? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala still Ar-Rahman in that moment? Is this still part of His mercy? When Ayyub alayhi salam, you have an answer? Go on. Good. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He tests us, when He gives us difficulty, trials, He uses that to raise our rank in the afterlife. So it's still a form of His mercy. Very good answer. Let us look at in the Quran, how did the prophets deal with their trials and this name Ar-Rahman specifically. Ayyub alayhi salam. Ayyub alayhi salam has a horrible illness. It paralyzes him for years. It paralyzes him for years. One of the worst illnesses possible. And when he makes dua to Allah, he says, Rabbi inni massani ad-durru wa anta arhamur rahimin. Oh Allah, illness has struck me and you are the most merciful. How? In his illness, in his cancer, in his leprosy, in his paralysis, he can't move, he can't breathe, there's boils all over his skin. How does he see Allah as arhamur rahimin? It's not about the illness, it's about how you look at the illness. It's not about the debt, it's about how you look at the loan. It's not about the divorce, it's how do you see the divorce. It's not about the death that you experience, it's how do you see the death. You can see everything as a rahmah from Allah. if you just wear the right glasses. You know, somebody wearing sunglasses, everything is dark in this room. Even if red color, green, yellow, everything is black. Right? There's rahmah glasses that we have to wear. So we can see everything as a rahmah from Allah. Ayyub alayhi salam. He doesn't say, Allah, you struck me with this illness. Why did you give me this? He says, Rabbi, masani ad-dur. Harm has touched me. Not you, harm has touched me. He never attributes the harm to Allah. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. How is Allah merciful? Allah's mercy is not just in healing him. Allah's mercy was also in making him ill. Because when Allah made him ill, he realized the value of his health. Isn't it true? Who here in this room knows somebody that passed away in COVID? You can put your hands up. Brother, who passed away? Your uncle passed away. Two uncles passed away. What about you, brother? Who passed away? Sorry? Father? A friend? Friend. Your grandfather. May Allah have mercy on all of them. Amen. When a grandfather passes away, when an uncle passes away, when a friend passes away, then we realize we could have done more. Right? We didn't call them enough. We could have spent more time with them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes away things we own, things we value, we realize, I should value it more. In this there is a rahmah. Because if He hadn't taken it away, we would have never realized. We would have never treated them well. We would have never sought forgiveness from Allah. So when Allah takes something away, it doesn't mean He's being harsh. It doesn't mean He's punishing you. It means He's having mercy on you. This is one way to see it. Another way to see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala never gave it to you in the first place. I'll give you an example how to think in this way. Urwa ibn Zubair. Does anybody know who's Urwa ibn Zubair? Son of Zubair ibn al-Awwam, from the Tabi'een, from the generation after the Prophet's companions. And Urwa ibn Zubair, radiallahu anhu, is one of the greatest scholars of Islam. He was a close student of Aisha, his aunt. Always in Sahih al-Bukhari, in the hadith collections, you'll see an Urwa and Aisha. Urwa, he narrates from Aisha all the time. Now Urwa ibn Zubair, one day, he's called, the caliph calls him to Damascus, he's called to Damascus to meet the caliph. On his way to Damascus, his leg gets poisoned and it gets amputated, it gets cut off. So now he has one leg. And he has seven sons. He takes his sons with him. And one of his sons, he gets injured by a horse and he dies. He loses a son. He reaches the caliph. The caliph says to him, I'm so sorry for calling you. You lost your limb, you lost your leg, and you lost your son just to meet me. He says, no, this is not how I think. We should pay attention to this. Allah gave me four limbs and He only took away one. Allah gave me seven sons and He only took away one. They call this type of thinking the glass half full. When you have a cup of water and it's half full, there's two ways to see it. You say, look, my glass is half empty. It's a negative way of seeing it. You say, the glass is half full. Alhamdulillah. Today, someone messaged me. He said, I don't know why Allah is doing this to me. I used to have a net worth, properties worth £3 million. And this happened. Now my property is only worth £1 million. Why has Allah punished me? First I thought, if only He realized how many people here would love to have £1 million. He's complaining about his £1 million worth of property. Imagine. Because we compare to yesterday, we don't compare to zero. When you lose an eye, we say, subhanAllah, I had two eyes, now I lost one. But the positive way of looking at it is, subhanAllah, Allah could have given me no eyes, but He still gave me one. Positive. The glass is half full. I said to him, Habibi, imagine this. Imagine today you woke up, you had no money in your bank account, and Allah put £1 million in there. How do you feel now? He said, wow, I feel very rich. I said, yes, you are very rich. If you want, you can come to Masjid al-Furqan, and maybe you can distribute the wealth if you get bored of it. Yes, many people will be excited to have it. Imagine you have nothing and Allah gave you everything you have. You feel rich. This attitude is in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. He says, "Man asbaha minkum aminan fi sirbihi, mu'afan fi jasadihi, yamliku quta yawmihi fakannama hizat lahu ad-dunya bihadafiriha." Whoever wakes up in the morning, you rub your eyes. You're safe You're safe in your shelter. You have a roof. Mu'afan fi jasadihi. You have health in your body. You're alive. Yamliku quta yawmi. You have enough food just for today. The Prophet says, if these things happen, you have a roof, you have health, you have food for today, you are the king of the world. It is like the whole world has been given to you. You have everything. What more do you need? Why are you worrying about tomorrow? The food for tomorrow is written from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It will come. You see, we have become subject to such a different attitude of looking at the rahmah of Allah. We become overthinkers. We want everything planned, everything sorted, the kids, college, university, education, saved for, everything saved, hoarded, investments, everything. Allah, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam teaches, think as though you have nothing and Allah made you rich. That is the meaning in Surah Al-Duha. And where do we learn this from, this attitude from? Surah Al-Rahman. Who can tell me which ayah keeps repeating in Surah Al-Rahman? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ This is the homework. Before next week, go home. Read Surah Al-Rahman with its meanings. Think carefully. What is Allah saying to you about Al-Rahman? What does it mean to appreciate Al-Rahman? فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ Which of the blessings of Allah will you both deny? Who's you both? Sorry? Humankind and jinnkind. Now, beautiful situation. When this surah is revealed, the Prophet ﷺ goes to his companions and he recites to them the whole surah. Ar-Rahman wa'allama al-Qur'an khalaqa al-insana 'allamahu al-bayan. And he recites till the end of the surah. Fasakatu, he sees them, they're quiet. He says, what is this reaction? I recited this surah to the jinn and their reaction was better than you guys. Authentic hadith in Surah Al-Tirmidhi. I recited Surah Al-Rahman to the jinn and their reaction was better than you guys. Every time I said, فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ They said, oh Allah, we will never reject your blessings. Allahumma laka alhamd. Every time I said it, they couldn't help themselves. But human being, وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ أَكْثَرَ شَيْءٍ جَدَلًا Human beings are argumentative. Human beings are weak. Human beings are foolish. They're petty. They don't appreciate Allah's blessings. وَقَلِيلٌ مِنْ عِبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ Allah says, how few of my believers, my slaves, are grateful. Part of understanding Allah is Ar-Rahman is to look in the world around you and to see Allah's mercy everywhere. Allah says in the Quran, فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ آثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Go and look and search for the effects, the traces of Allah's mercy. كَيْفَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا Look at how Allah revives the dead earth and He gives it life. Someone who understands the name Ar-Rahman, they don't look at the world like anybody else. Number one, when they have tests, we said they look at a glass half full. SubhanAllah, I woke up this morning, I had no clothes. Now Allah gave me one thobe and an overcoat. I am blessed. They don't think about the rest of the wardrobe. They don't compare themselves to others. They imagine I have nothing, Allah enriched me. This is Ar-Rahman. The second thing, they look carefully at the world that Allah created. Nature, plants, animals, and they look for the mercy of Allah in all of these. Because in a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when Allah created the heavens and the earth, Allah ordered the pen to write that I am going to give portion of my mercy. I'm going to divide this mercy into 100 parts. 99 of them I'm going to keep with me. And one I'm going to give in this dunya. And this 1% of Allah's, this mercy, that this portion of Allah's mercy, 1% of it is all the mercy in the world. Every mother, how much mercy they have for their child. And every animal, how much mercy they have for their children. And every plant, all the mercy we see in the world is just 1% of this mercy Allah created for us. And the other 99% is saved for the afterlife. Imagine, all the mercy in this world is just one part. And there's 99 saved for the afterlife. Say again? Allah's mercy upon us is over and above the 1%. The 1% is our mercy for each other. Animals, plants, human beings. Allah's mercy is unlimited. What's the evidence that Allah's mercy is unlimited? That's Allah's blessings. Ahsant. This is why, Sheikh, I need you in the front, Sheikh. As-sabiqoon. وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ Allah says, my mercy has encompassed everything. Everything receives Allah's mercy. So Allah has a general mercy that encompasses everything, and Allah has a specific mercy. Now, how does a believer see Ar-Rahman, the effects of Ar-Rahman in the world around him? When you watch nature documentaries, and you see how so many animals are born inside an eggshell. Why weren't they born into the open? Who protected them in the eggshell? Rahmah from Allah. They have to crack the eggshell when they're ready. Why didn't Allah create human beings outside? Why did He create them inside? Protected. Rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you look at the earth, the soil, it's dead. It doesn't move. It doesn't operate. But from this comes living plants. They provide fruit, different colors. Rahmah from Allah azza wa jal. Allah could have given us all the food with the same taste. Even the tea that we enjoy. Yes, if you go nearby, you'll find some very nice Somali tea. Highly recommend. If you go to some parts, you'll find Karak tea. It's an Indian tea. If you go other parts, you find Adani tea. Just in tea, you have so many flavors. Why didn't Allah make all the tea taste the same? Rahmah from Allah. When you look at people, so many different shapes and sizes. Rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jal. If you don't get along with one, you can get along with the other. It's fine. Rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jal. And from Allah's rahmah is He gave rahmah within us for each other. Allah describes His rahmah in nature very often in the Quran. وَمِن رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارِ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِن فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ Allah asks this question in Surah Al-Qasas. He says, imagine Allah gave you nighttime forever, no daytime. Always dark. Who's going to give you light for you to do your daily activities? Then he says, imagine Allah gave you daytime all the time, permanently, it's always sunny. I know the British will be very happy. We need a bit of sun, right? Allah says, imagine it was always sunny. There was no nighttime ever for you to rest and relax. Who would give you night? Min rahmatihi, from Allah's mercy, you get day and you get night. See, this is part of Allah's rahmah. If we want to appreciate Allah's rahmah, we have to start looking at nature. Take a trip to the Peak District. Watch a documentary about nature. Go and see the creation of Allah and think, what is this beauty that Allah has made? Yes. Go, Bismillah. Beautiful. That's a rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jalla. He's saying, when a mother experiences contractions and pain and kicking of the child in the stomach and you know all of this stuff that's happening, if any other person received this treatment from someone, you would kick them out. You know, you'd have a fight with them. But the moment the child is born, the mother's crying. The mother's filled with love for this child. That's a rahmah from Allah. It could have been different. Whenever you see anything in this world, imagine it could have been different. Allah could have made it a different way. All the fruits could have tasted the same. All the imams could have sounded the same. All the teas could have been the same. Mothers could have hated their children. Husbands could have hated their wives. People could have been all uniform like robots. Every element of this world is a form of rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jal. When you start to see this, you are fulfilling Allah's command. فَانْظُرْ إِلَىٰ أَثَارِ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ Go and look. Allah commands us. Go and look with your eyes. And go and find, where are all the effects of Allah's mercy in the world around you? If you don't appreciate it, you have not appreciated who is Ar-Rahman. Look at Surah Ar-Rahman. Most of the verses in Surah Ar-Rahman are about what? Allah's creation. In the Quran, there is something that is always called Rahmah, the greatest form of Allah's mercy. Who can tell me what is the greatest form of Allah's mercy upon His creation? What is the greatest form of Allah's mercy for us? You get to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment. I mean in this dunya. just existing is not the greatest form of Allah's mercy. Because the kafir also gets this. There is a special mercy only for us in this world. Not, I'm not talking Jannah. In this world. Islam, Iman, the Quran. This is the special mercy only for us. Allah says in the Quran.
يَا قَوْمِ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِن كُنْتُ عَلَى بَيِّنَةٍ مِّن رَبِّي.
The prophets, they say to the people, oh people, can't you see? If Allah has given me clear guidance.
وَآتَانِي رَحْمَةً مِّن عِنْدِهِ.
And he gave me a rahmah from him. What is this rahmah? Is it Somali tea? Is it capsicum? Is it shawarma? What rahmah is the prophet talking about? That Allah gave a special rahmah only for him? It is guidance. Ad-deen, al-iman, al-islam. Do you know why this is the greatest rahmah from Allah?
Why is this the greatest mercy from Allah? Because you might think to yourself, if Allah has a special mercy for the believers, because when Allah says in the Quran, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, my mercy has encompassed everything.
فَسَأَكْتُبُهَا لِلَّذِينَ يَتَّقُونَ, but I will make it especially for the believers. What is a special mercy? In this world, there is a special mercy from Allah. The special mercy from Allah in this world is that Allah makes this world like a Jannah for you. You might be tired, you might be hungry, you might be in debt. You might be divorced, you might be alone, you might be in pain. But because of this guidance from the Quran, you feel like you are enjoying this life. This is a rahmah from Allah Azza wa Jalla.
Compare yourself. Celebrities, they have all the material goods in this world, but they commit suicide. Every day of their life is a miserable, depressing existence. It's depressing. They have everything, but they don't live a life of rahmah.
وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. Allah says, whoever turns away from remembering me, they will live a miserable life. The greatest rahmah of Allah upon us believers is this guidance he sent from the sky.
وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ.
Allah says, we reveal from this Quran that which is a healing, a therapy, a medicine, and a mercy only for the believers. Why is it a mercy only for the believers? What about the disbelievers? Because the believers are the one who take this Quran and they want to follow it. They take this Quran and they understand it. This Quran makes them see the glass half full. They are always happy.
عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ.
As the Prophet says, how amazing is life for a believer. He sees everything as good. If something bad happens to him, he's patient and it's better, it's good for him. And if something good happens to him, he's grateful and it's good for him. They see everything as the glass is half full. This living this kind of a life is like experiencing Jannah in this world. Because trust me, there's other people, they don't express Jannah like you. I'll give you a very real statistic. A very real statistic. 1 in 10 people have thought of or have attempted suicide. 1 in 10 people. How many people in this room? 60, 70 people. 10% of everybody in the world have thought about killing themselves. Why? 2 centuries ago, in Europe and in most of the world, they decided they don't need God anymore. Most of the Christians stopped believing in God. When you live a life like that without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is a miserable life. You are empty. You may have everything in this world, but you will feel empty. Anybody know how much time I have left? Half an hour. Finish. Sorry? How much time?
Okay.
27 minutes, inshallah. I won't take till 27 minutes. Don't worry. Coming. I'm wrapping up. Don't worry. The disbeliever, life is meaningless. If something bad happens to them, they have no explanation. That's why they call it the problem of evil. Anything bad is a big problem for them. It doesn't make sense. But for us, when something happens, we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, behind this test, there is something good. We see Ar-Rahman. Musa and Khidr. Now imagine, look at this story. They are 2 orphans. They have no money and their father has passed away.
How do they see their life? Eventually, Musa and Khidr, alayhim as-salam, they go and they uncover that underneath a tree and underneath a wall, there is inheritance their father left for them. When Khidr is telling this story to Musa, he says, وَأَمَّا الْجِدَارُ فَكَانَ لِغُلَامَيْنِ يَتِيمَيْنِ فِي الْمَدِينَةِ. As for the wall, it was for two orphans in the city. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا. And their inheritance was hidden under this wall. The wall is the test. The wall is the pain. The wall is the struggle. But underneath the wall is always the treasure. This is how you have to look at life. Behind the wall, the pain, the difficulty, there is a treasure. وَكَانَ تَحْتَهُ كَنْزٌ لَهُمَا وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ فَأَرَادَ رَبُّكَ أَيْ عَفْوًا أَنْ يَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا لَا أَنْ يَبْلُغَا أَشُدَّهُمَا وَيَسْتَخْرِجَا كَنْزَهُمَا. Allah wanted them to reach adulthood before they got their treasure. He had a wisdom. And when they reach adulthood and they get their treasure, what does Allah call all of that situation? رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. The whole thing was rahmah. Living years without their father, living years of loneliness, having no money, having a big wall, all of that was rahmah. And even when they found their wealth, even that was a rahmah. رَحْمَةً مِنْ رَبِّكَ. If you understand Ar-Rahman, you see everything in this world as a rahmah of Allah. It doesn't make you bitter. It doesn't make you angry. You make peace with it. Many people, they live a life where they harm others because they don't see the world in this way. They were harmed, so they go and fight with others. They were hurt by their parents, so they hurt others. They were wrong, so they wrong others. If you see all of it as rahmah, then you will have rahmah on others. هذا وصلوا وسلموا وباركوا على من أمرتم بالصلاة وعليه صلى الله عليه وسلم وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.